But you can zoom in on tiny little bits to find out, you know, what went on at each particular part of the battle. And sometimes it's good to remember that God has this giant canvas, which we obviously can't always see. But it doesn't mean it's not there, and he does have a plan. But even in that giant canvas, there are tiny things going on which are important and have become a very major turning points. And just like if you are a chef and you put that certain ingredient in which makes things come alive, or possibly you're a conductor of music and you just put that right flurry in to bring the music alive, or maybe an artist who knows when to put the right shading in, which just gives the whole thing. In the same manner, these small, tiny pieces make up the big canvas and give it the vibrancy it needs. When the Beijing Olympics were on, they did this great thing where, you know, everyone stands there and has a tiny card and they rotate the cards back and forward. And when you look at a giant version of it, you see these huge pictures. And of course, given the vast population that China had, they could do an enormous job of this. And they did a great job, which showed, you know, just one card flipping could change the picture. And so what we're seeing here is the actions of one family and how in that tapestry they get to do something which changes the whole world and makes up the story that God wants to see. Now, we know that it's about Jesus, but I really wanted to concentrate on possibly what he's trying to teach Joseph. Joseph is in all of this. He's not done anything wrong at all. He's there through no fault of his own. He is at a mountaintop experience at the moment. He's been recorded that his wife's just given birth to the child. We know that the child's been told to us to be the Messiah. He's done everything obediently. He's had people turn up to the birth who've enunciated, saying, hey, we all saw angels. They told us to come down here. And that was great. And either that night or sometime later, we get a visit by the Magi. The Magi have turned up and they said, just to reinforce what everybody else has said, there was this whole star in the sky. Here are some gifts. And he's got this incredible mountaintop experience. Wow. People from so far away have spent time and to come and travel just to pay homage to the child which I've been entrusted with. And that's the word he's been entrusted with. And so he goes to sleep having such a great time. And then has a dream which says, get up, the child's now in danger, head off. Go down, of all places, to Egypt. Now, you need to understand from the Jewish perspective, Egypt, it represents everything which is wrong. And people didn't go there unless they were really in trouble or in lots of ways were perceived as being disobedient. But the big place to go, notice it doesn't say where to go in Egypt, it just says go down to Egypt. But the big place to go to Egypt was Alexandria. Alexandria was a huge Jewish populace. It's the place where the Septuagint was translated. And so that's the place where all the scholars were as well. But often the case of people who were down there was because they were political refugees. They'd fallen foul of somebody actually in Israel, and the only safe place to go was down there. Or possibly they were down there because they were just doing things wrong and that was the safest space they could find to go and do those things. Joseph's come from a good family. He's an obedient sort of bloke. And suddenly he's found himself in Bethlehem. And now next he's found himself having to head off down into Egypt. And often that's the way. Often we get this point of going through a mountaintop and suddenly you're down in the valleys. And often it's no fault of your own. It could be, in this case, caused by somebody else. Somebody else in your life is doing something and you suddenly find yourself at their mercy. Your adult children often can make choices where you kind of go, wish they hadn't done that. And suddenly you find yourself in your new reality. You could be involved in, sadly, as we've witnessed, a car accident. You were driving just fine. The other person wasn't. and you've got a new reality. You find that somebody's embezzled funds. The company you've been working faithfully for many years has gone completely broke, and you are now not only without a job, but all your back pay is not coming through. You find yourself in a new reality, and it's not your fault at all. What do you do? How do you maintain to see God's big canvas and say, well, what's going on here when we're in the valleys? You need to be able to discern. You need to be able to see God's big picture. You need to be able to see his canvas. And I think what we're seeing here for Joseph is Joseph being given an opportunity to learn that even in the bad places, God is still in control. And to see that the picture of who God is and the Messiah that he's been entrusted with here to raise physically as an earthly father stretches beyond just Israel. And this learning starts at this very point. And so he finds himself heading down to Alexandria. He finds himself going down to Egypt. One suspects that the gifts he's been given, he uses to fund this project. Now, we don't know exactly how long he's down there from. What we do know fairly effectively is that Herod died around the Passover of 4 BC, which might sound weird to some people, but, you know, someone picked zero as the date of when Jesus was born but got it wrong. So he died around 4 BC. And so Jesus was born somewhere between 6 BC and 4 BC. And so Joseph took the family down there, and he could have been down there for anywhere from 2 years to a few months. We just don't know. When eventually he's informed that Herod has died, he obviously brings the child and family back when it's safe. But while he's down there, he's got to interact with all these people. He's got to start discerning, who are they? What are they doing here? Are they political refugees like me? Are they just dodgy Jewish people who are down here doing things wrong and can't get away with it in Israel, and so we've decided to live a non-conforming lifestyle down in Alexandria? Are we traders, and we feel it's more important to sit here in Alexandria trading than possibly be back in Israel? He has to discern who the people is he's interacting with. You have to discern what the center of their life is. And we need to be doing the same when we find ourselves in odd circumstances, in circumstances we might not choose. We start interacting with people who normally we may never have any connection with whatsoever, and we need to have wisdom in discerning what's driving them, what's the center of their life. We need to consider sometimes when our mountain gets invaded and we suddenly find ourselves moving to a valley, what is it that God is trying to teach us whilst we're within those particular circumstances? What is it that God's trying to teach us, and what should we be learning? Did this time of going down to Egypt give Mary and Joseph a bigger viewpoint of who God is, so that as they raise and instruct Jesus with the earthly wisdom that they can give him, they brought that into his life as well? There is a case of in the Old Testament where Salmon marries Rahab, Rahab being the prostitute who hides the two spies when they're going into the Promised Land. And after her salvation, it's recorded that Salmon marries her. So basically, Salmon has this viewpoint which says, I understand that a person who's a foreigner but does God's will is equally a person as Jewish in the heart as a natural-born Jewish person. And so I'm willing to reach out to that particular woman, and I'm willing to marry her. And that's okay by God. And it was. But what's exciting about this particular gathering of Salmon and Rahab is their child is Boaz. And Boaz has the wisdom once again to look towards Ruth, a Moabitess. And Boaz can look beyond the rule which says don't marry a Moabite, because he goes, well, a Moabite who's following God's law is better than a Jewish person who isn't. And so he's willing to say, I'm willing to marry Ruth. And I often think Boaz is willing to do that because he goes, well, that's what Dad did. He's learned from Dad and Mum that a good relationship and a solid marriage in God, or in our case now, in Christ, is the important thing. And that passes on down. And so we see the influence that parents can have upon their children. I often wonder and think this particular time of Joseph and Mary going to Egypt is expanding two people who've probably spent never any time outside of Israel to say, look, there's a different life out there. There's a different purpose out there. And the Messiah that you are raising has to perceive that he's not just there for Israel. Or I suspect more importantly, they have to perceive that the Messiah is not just for Israel. Because I suspect Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, will figure that out. But did they learn it? I'm sure they did, because they spent their time dwelling on God. And the real question for you and I is, when we're in our valley, when we've left the mountaintop, when we're in this odd situation that we never expected to find ourselves, do we see God's big canvas and learn from that experience? Do we say to God, what are you teaching me, even in these dire situations? Are we willing to put God's kingdom before our own? God looks for people and historically has found them who want to give willing obedience. And it's very important for the willing part. He can use people when they're not willing, but he wants them willing. The willing obedience will bring revelation, an attitude to expect. And if when we're in a valley experience, we say, Lord, I'm still willing to learn. What is it you're trying to teach me here? Sometimes in a fast food world, waiting upon God can seem extremely tedious. Sometimes we're longing for home and say, I want to be back in the place of safety. I want to be back in the place where I knew I could be. But it's then we need to be able to say to God, I'm still willing to be obedient, even when things may not be going correctly. So can I encourage us? Reread this text. See what he actually had to do, fleeing in the night. See what it would have done to challenge his thought process about who God is and what God can do. Because I'm sure, like myself, that sometimes you find yourself in situations and you go, why like that, Lord? So let's consider exactly what happened. Herod was going to kill the child, and so he had to take the child and flee down to Egypt. Well, my first question would be is, well, why allow Herod to kill any children at all? Why not just stop Herod with a heart attack and that's the end of Herod? But God's plan was different. And so sometimes things happen in our lives and we go, Lord, I have no idea why you've done that. If it had been me, I'd have done something different, but you've chosen that way. What are we willing to learn whilst we're in that valley experience? Are we willing to have this willing obedience still to say, even in the bad times, God, I'm going to learn your plan. I'm going to be challenged about you. He gets given a stack of gold, and then suddenly the next day or next night he has to take off and run away. Can I tell you, I don't actually think Joseph and Mary ever suffered from prosperity theology, because their life just didn't reflect it. And sometimes we just need to look and say and be challenged in our theology, which says, God, I understand, even in the tricky times, even when things seem to be going wrong, even when none of it was my fault, you still have a big canvas. You still know what's going on. And even in that big canvas, my willing obedience will make a difference. and we'll go up to make that tapestry so we can see the whole story of the salvation of all creation through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So I won't be seeing you for a few weeks. Let that be something for us to all remember and say in our mountaintop down to our valley experience, how will my willing obedience allow God to speak into my life so I can perceive what he wants me to be doing? Don't waste an opportunity which looks, even from our perspective, as tough times, because God's willing to teach us during that as well. Okay, thanks very much.